Blog Talk Radio.
America Meditating Blog Talk Radio Show. We collect wisdom, hear stories, and inspire each other. I'm Sister Jenna. Tune in live from Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Do you like to meditate? Have you tried to meditate? Have you struggled with meditation? Why don't you visit one of the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Center? Visit brahmakumaris.org.
In 1987, some first graders were promised a college education. This came from Oral Lee Brown, who saved a large portion of her modest income sending 19 kids to college, helping others. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Welcome to America Meditating Radio Show. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. Monday through Friday, we get a chance to spend some time over the air and learn so much about what's living in our heart. If you happen to miss any of the shows, you can catch our archived materials on our Pause for Peace app, which is the free app, which our 13-year-old did one summer vacation when he was bored and getting on our last little nerve. But we were able to use that youth's energy in a way that it was worthwhile, not only for him, but also for those around him. And today it's gone all over the world, that little app, and we're very touched by that. We're looking forward to welcoming our very special guest, NFL star athlete Keith Mitchell, number 59, former linebacker of the New Orleans Saints. And he's going to talk about how his meditation and yoga practices have been taking him to another level in his life and to another dimension of consciousness. So stay tuned, and we're going to pause for a little bit, go into our silence and our meditation and a sense of knowing ourselves a little bit better. Sometimes it doesn't always turn out the way we plan it to, because maybe there is something else waiting for you to unfold. So let's let go and go to the Off to Work CD by Sister Jenna and breathe, relax. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. About connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. and observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, and eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. This time, I hope that continues to touch you as much as it has touched the millions of our users of that particular meditation. Let go of your name, your gender, your role, your title, even your religion, and just ask yourself, how do you feel? And if you can experience a sense of freedom, courage, and life, it's you. You've signed up to really being you. I came across a quote the other day, folks, and I have to share it with you. Your time is limited. And I would say your time is limited in terms of the role that you're playing, but we have many roles to play. But your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and your intuition. And that's why I'm so thrilled to have our next guest on. NFL star athlete Keith Mitchell, number 59, a former linebacker for the New Orleans Saints, Houston Texans, and Jacksonville Jaguars, was at the top of his professional game when he ascended into the 2000 NFL Pro Bowl. Now, without warning, his football career suddenly ended after being confronted with a paralyzing spinal injury during a game, resulting in the agony of early retirement by the young age of 31. Unwilling to surrender to the plague of emotional depression and physical defeat he often observed in many NFL players facing similar trauma, he channeled his energy into the practice of yoga and meditation for healing. By his amazement and great surprise, he discovered that these two daily practices not only helped him physically recover from his injury, but created a refreshing sense of his self-awareness and fulfillment, which surpassed even his love for football. Folks, we are very happy to have Keith Mitchell, number 59. We should start to call you number unlimited because you have totally broken through. You have broken through a lot, Keith. I mean, what happens when you have given your passion, you have lived your life as passionately as sports, and it's taken away from you, and you listened more to something in you, and it's now taken you to a complete different dimension. Proud of you. Glad that you could join us today. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being here. I was just listening to the show, I guess. I got a bit of it, and it's just the energy is just very blissful.
Oh, nice. So finally, yeah. My 20-something years of yoga and meditation is finally kicking in. Now that's what I'm talking about.
Exactly. It's a practice.
You see, never give up. Never give up. Yeah, never give up. You know, Keith, yeah. in seconds, you were literally forced into what we might call in sports retirement. What I call is just a change of roles. And at 31, your career changed for you that you loved. Was that a challenging transition for you, one? What were the thoughts that you were facing at that time, and how did that one thought click and said to you, that was it?
Well, I mean, first, I guess when the injury happened, I didn't really think about where I was. I was thinking more or less, will I play or can I play or when will a doctor let me play? Even though I was in the situation I was in, I didn't really dwell on it. I didn't let my mind sort of dwell on it. It's interesting how I just didn't think about, well, I may not walk again. It was more or less, when will I play again? Or if I'll play again? That was my concern.
Wow. And the thought, what was that thought that clicked for you?
Well, I think that thought happened through a duration of time, of seeing myself kind of in a limited position and seeing, the weeks pass and the days, the months pass, and then like, okay, now it's a little bit more, now it's a little deeper. And actually, the turning point was when I was introduced to conscious breathing. And that's exactly how it was introduced to me. People call it meditation. People call it whatever you want to call it, but I was introduced to it as conscious breathing. And actually tapping into the breath to heal, the healing modalities that we have from the oxygen and the blood flow. And through that practice and committing to that practice, I started the whole reflecting concept. It's very interesting. Meditation, with the breathing connects to the mind. And when you get into the mind, you get into the reflection. A very famous teacher that I love, J. Krishnamurti, says the highest form of human intelligence is to be able to observe without judging. ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it was very interesting for me because I started connecting with people, books of Jay Krishnamurti, Eric Fromm, The Art of Loving, people like Osho, and then I started really doing the yoga of the mind.
Right. Yeah. I'm totally signing up for the yoga of the mind because I always think that if I can have the courage and the power to release interpretations that are leading me further into algae mode, it's an acronym I use all the time, Keith, A for anger, L for lust, G for greed, A for attachment, and E for ego. It's my detriment. And if I ever catch myself in that mode, which a life challenge can take you there, an injury on a football field can take you into that level of interpretation. But when we can actually release the interpretation of the situation and step into the real power of the self, this is living. You know, this is really what it's about.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a similar approach to myself. It's kind of just finding that intuition, intention, and that intention is love and maintaining that. I say when I get emotional or get, you know, it gets out of that context, then I'm going too far, and just to bring it back to center and get back onto my intention. And my intention is to learn love as well as receive love. So
wow.
I'm right there with you.
There you go. Now, you grew up with a father who I think was a preacher. So that's always fun, right?
So that means we're the worst kids.
No, it just means that you're not supposed to do anything wrong. I mean, it just gets amplified, bless your heart. But
yeah. You
grew up in a Christian home, and your father is a preacher, but you said that you found hope through the practice of meditation. Now, I think your injury might have triggered to gently move you through that path of spirituality or meditation. Has your faith changed?
I think my faith has gotten stronger. Yeah, and I believe my faith has gotten stronger more so in myself, in understanding that we're powerful beings. And what I've seen is we've given a lot of our power away, with the vibration and the frequencies that we hold, putting, in my opinion, the deity or the concept of the creator outside of ourselves. We've inherited that amazing gift that the Creator has given us, and that's the breath, and that's the breath, the frequencies, and with that we can create, we can manifest things, we can bond together to move and create amazing things together, and even just within ourselves, but collectively we're even more powerful. So I've begun to see that and track that and see how amazing that is in that space.
Right, right. Why do we struggle so much with listening to that intuitive voice, that part of us that sometimes goes against the grain of what everyone else tells us we should do? You better be a good Baptist or a good Christian, or you better be a good Hindu, or you got to get married to this or that, or you got to talk to this kind of a person, but intuitively the heart says, aren't I here just to really love everyone and be loved? What is it that makes us struggle? What's your interpretation of why people are so afraid to live their truth?
Well, it has a lot to do with the conditioning, in my opinion. And a lot of times I give the analogy of, like, say if I'm going to, I have an idea to plant tomatoes, right? And say I go to the pharmacy to buy the seeds that's going to allow me to plant tomatoes. Well, what's interesting about that concept is I know what a tomato looks like, but the seeds look nothing like what the tomato looks like. But on the package, it gives you have a seed that looks nothing like what a tomato looks like, but on the package, it gives you the idea of what the tomato looks like. So that entails to me that the seed is not the seed individually. It's actually the tomato. So the reality of us the parents, the mother and father who which and created us, their thoughts will be our thoughts. Their ways of looking at the, whether it be economics, whether it be relationships, their ways will be our ways. So we just kind of follow suit in that until we come into a place, whether it be a lot of times it's traumatic cases where we come to a place of reflection and we recognize, wow, I want to create my own flow. I've been living life in this alignment with the people who made me thinking their thoughts, but what about my thoughts? And so for me, when I came and the character that I was portraying, living, when that kind of died away, I had to rebirth me and understand who me was. So it was a very interesting dynamic there.
I like that. I had to rebirth me, and I had to find those dynamics, that dynamic. A few years ago, well, actually quite a number of years ago when I started my path, I used to own 2 nightclubs, you know, few sports cars in my garage, living in a condominium overlooking the Atlantic Ocean. Now I'm a sister. Can only imagine the rebirthing that happened. But what happened was, for me, when I got onto the path, it was through the portal of visions, things that I saw that were not current, and they led me to making the choice, the decision. And when I went into just that spiritual community and space, I wasn't sure of myself at all. People were telling me I was something, but I didn't feel that I was matching that something. So I sort of played that game like you put on a football suit and you get out on the field and the fans are yelling and you're like, yeah, and you got the ball, you feel like a king for the day. But when you go back home, you're just like maybe somebody sitting playing Nintendo in front of a television. I'm just saying. It doesn't match the story. It like the height, the everything wasn't matching. So one day I turned to myself and I said, Jen, come on. Okay, everyone thinks you're a goddess on planet, but are you inside? I said, no. And that was my moment of perfection. It was when I was so honest with myself and I knew my inner world wasn't matching what was being projected out there. And that was the moment I started to listen to myself. It was my rebirthing. It was powerful.
That's an awesome story. That's awesome. You know, it seems like we've kind of all, you know, created and built this character, and this character is really through survival. You know, our conditioning is like created ways to, like, maneuver, but the ways that we've created for ourselves are typically from an unconscious perspective, never really doing a true due diligence internally to, like, reflect and say, has this served me? Does this serve me? Does this make me happy? You know, it's kind of like we were maneuvering, just trying to make fit, like in a sense of this just is how it is for me, and this is what I just have to do. But it's really not fulfilling us or satisfying us internally, energetically, and we suffer from that, which creates the chaos and the so-called sporadic behavior. So I totally get that.
Yeah, I think it's just such an important stage to embrace because you realize that you're really not living for someone else, that we're really here living for ourselves. Now, I know that you've been involved with a lot of good things, and I know that you're working a lot with vets or veterans. I heard you were in Washington, D.C. You didn't come to see us, but I'll forgive you for that. So I'll just have to just move on and keep going on. But you recently conducted a live mindfulness meditation, which was in Washington, D.C. for members of Congress during Mental Health Month. And you are advocating for holistic healing facilities throughout the U.S. addressing challenges that veterans are facing. Could you let us know a little bit more about the visit and how was the idea of holistic healing facilities received by our government officials?
Well, we got some very interesting people in office that I've come to, you know, be fond of and befriend. Congressman Tim Ryan is a yogi, and he's an advocate for meditation. May is the month of mindfulness, and once we connected, he was like, I got to get you down to lead us through a guided meditation. And it was an amazing experience. You know, that's a whole different arena there in the political world. It's very stressful, chaotic. And we got a chance in the Capitol just kind of hold that space and, like, find that bliss, kind of like the bliss that you have going on right now on the show. So we kind of found that bliss in the midst of all the chaos. And you know, people were really, you know, a lot of people had never meditated before. And we also had some veterans there. And it was just an amazing experience. The initiative that Tim is creating is to have yoga meditation as one of the rehabilitations for the veterans. I saw a very similar concept with the retired players in the NFL or pro sports, that whole transitioning from life after sports. It's kind of like that rebirthing concept, you know, and it's really challenging for people because the longer they've been in it, you know, at 31, over half my life, I had known myself as an athlete and been perceived as an athlete, so I didn't know anything beyond Keith Mitchell, you know, not
number 59, right?
Yeah, so that was who I was. So in transitioning, it's a very very vulnerable space to be, and, you know, I think providing the resources that people can, you know, make that transition and it be a healthy transition, I think is needed. So I was on board with Tim on that, and we're doing some amazing things together. I'm looking very forward to what we have, you know, to come.
I think it's going to be great. Congressman Tim Ryan has been a very positive advocate towards creating more of a reflective nation. You know, Keith, one of the reasons why I started America Meditating as a project in the nation's capital was to initiate an understanding that reflective thinking or mindfulness or introspection or meditation didn't mean something was wrong. It meant you were gearing up for the game. And I thought, like, it was really important for us to understand that where there's stillness, there is your force and your power to be, because we've got to charge up. And as fast as this country moves, I love this country and what it stands for. And I feel like perhaps one of the gifts that I could leave behind as a legacy is don't be afraid to listen to your own thoughts and just stock up for the future. Because I think there's just so much in this spiritual approach, and maybe we've been sort of distracted by the outfits and the beads and the chantings and the funny smelling cigarettes, you know what I mean, and all of these concepts that people thought was like meditation and spirituality. But to me, it was a coming home. It's a going beyond your limits. It is a showing up when you're really needed the most. It is a return to love that is your power.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think that what's interesting, though, is, you know, what I found my niche anyway is to meet people where they are. And even though I may do some oming, if a person I feel maybe is not in that space to do oming, then I won't do that. If the person is not in that space to want to do create a mantra, then I won't do that. Or even teach in a Sanskrit form. I like connecting with people where they are, because the most important thing is that when they feel this, they can't undo the feeling. And just like when we first had our experience of feeling this, what is it we wanted? We wanted more. So it's just getting them in the door and let them take their practice wherever they choose to take it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very true, very true. And I really didn't even mean to say that if you were into the mantra chanting, it didn't mean you were doing anything. But
no,
really,
I like the chanting.
You like the mantra chanting. I can just see you now waving in the air and stuff, yeah.
I do the same. I light all the incense, so I'm with you on that.
There you go. Now, today you are a respected master certified yoga instructor. You've got just about more than 10 years of experience now, and you're so committed through inspiring self-empowerment, transformation into the lives of others. What keeps you going?
Well, just seeing the kids, I mean, you know, and how responsive they are, because I'm like, man, if I had this tool when I was young, you know how we all say that, if I had this when I was younger, where would I be? So it's, I think with that being said, well, here's a chance that we can extend this to these kids and give them these tools that they can, you know, have and that can prep them for life as they go through it, to deal with the trauma traumatizations that they go through, and not just let those traumas just resonate and be stagnant within them, but allow them to heal as they're going through it. And I think that changes the whole dynamics of our culture. That changes the dynamics of the new leaders that are coming up. And right. I think for the world, it just makes such a big difference. Even in our meditation, I have the kids touch one another, and you know, and feel the energy of connectiveness, and how to collectively together we can create and we can connect just as is, you know. And when they, again, when they feel it, right, when they feel the love, that's the intuition that you know, you don't have to speak words at that time, because they can feel it, and that feeling cannot be undone.
Well said, well said. And we do need a generation of children coming up with a sense of mindfulness and a sense of presence. And I wonder, with the acceleration of modern technology, how present would our children be when everything seems to be so fast? I really feel that, you know, yoga, meditation, having spiritual mentors around them, perhaps it will just balance out the story. When it comes to your vision for the youth of today, how would you like to see them in another 30 years from now? What should they become 30 years from now?
Well, I can tell you what we've created to, create some influence with that. And what we've created is mindful5k.com. And in this is a way of introducing the practices of meditation, mindfulness, conscious breathing, whatever you choose to call it, and even the yoga concept of connecting the breath to the moving practices, whether it be a typical asana practice or it's any type of, you know, therapeutic moving practice, but just whatever you can move your body with, whether it be dance, whether it be an exercise, connecting the breath to it. And in this mindful5k.com that we create a whole arena where, and literally we take the arenas, the football stadiums, and we bring the communities together and allow the kids to, parents to connect to one another, not to be in that old setting like a country fair where we're isolated. We brought our four people and we're going to stay in our four, our group, but to let the parents feel free to, like, let their kids go, let their, even themselves, go interact with other people and experience the settings and enjoy one another. I always say that the meditation regenerates the mind. The yoga practice heals the body, reclaims the body, but this concept of mindful5k.com reclaims the community. And I think collectively when we create this concept, we bring community back. I think we can really make change.
Nicely said, Keith Mitchell. What's your definition of soul?
Definition of soul?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the soul is infinite. It's the really the only thing that we have that's transitional. This gives us the idea that we've been here before. You know, we're energy. We're infinite. There's no time, there's no space in this place. It's our souls, you know. And I think sometimes we have these moments of saying, wow, you know, I think I've been here before, deja vu, we call it. And I've had those moments too, and we keep going with our day. But I believe that's true. I mean, because, again, we're energy, and the soul is the only thing that's transitional. So we're infinite.
Definition of God?
Definition of God. I say because I grew up in the household of church, I do believe that there's a creator, but at the same time, I believe that you are God. I believe that I am. I believe we all have that capacity within us. Everything that we've known, or the supernatural, the love, the connection of love, is we've known it in individuals around us, in ourselves, things like that. So those are the things that I feel that I relate to, is a deity within you, a deity within myself.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And what are you absolutely sure of at this point in your life?
<That's>
See, you didn't know you were going to get homework. Homework.
Those are like back-to-back deep questions. I like it, though. I like it. So my sure of, I'm sure of this path that I'm on, to give and to know love, and to learn more about receiving love. I'm sure about that path, and I believe that's in alignment with what I'm here for. I'm here to serve and share and be a student as well as share. So that's, if that even answers the question, that's what I'm sure of.
Keith Mitchell, you've been an incredible gift on our show today. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for taking on this question challenge, the soul challenge. You've been great. Now, is there anything that you'd like our listeners to know a little bit more about, some of the things that you're involved with, and you'd love to get their support on that? And please leave us with what your current favorite life quote might be that you're living by.
Yes, I'm looking to do that, the component at mindful5k.com across the country. We're first starting with L.A. and New York. I'm looking to partner up with people who are wanting to, you know, roll their sleeves up and take part in it. We're building a nice army team to, like, do this collectively. And follow me on the social media, KeithMitchell59, my website, KeithMitchell59.com. Support, support can be a numerous amount of things. It could just be following and staying in tune with what we're doing, you know, sending that energetic love and power to us to continue to do what we're doing. A quote that really there's a ton of quotes that resonates with me. I would say my notion from this talk is to this one right here. When intuition replaces intellect, knowledge turns to wisdom.
Wow. Nice. That's a great one. Keith Mitchell, keep up the great work that you're doing. Truly, we thank you so much for showing up in a way that reveals everything that's hidden beneath your skin. Thanks very, very much.
Thank you so much for having me. Namaste.
Take good care. Namaste to you, and Om Shanti. Bye-bye.
Bye.
How great it is to hear a young man who has been through it and back and basically stepped up to his own game within himself to make a difference. Folks, we are inviting you not to be afraid to embrace change, to embrace something different. Yes, make sure some of the tools and the pillars are up. Don't just do it tomorrow and go, I'm going to jump over the ledge because my intuition tells me to do that. No, listen to what that thought is that keeps coming up again and again and again, where it basically tries to urge you, move, move on, move forward, move in to your truth, lean in to your divinity. You've been listening to America Meditating Radio Show, and I was touched by our wonderful guest, Keith Mitchell, number 59. Go visit him and his website and get involved with all the great things that he's doing. And remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are learning that we're really here to love each other the same. Take care, everyone. Be good to yourself and be good to each other. Om Shanti.
All around me, a silent. Cause me pain.